Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Rose.
I'm Kathy.
And we're so glad you're here with us today. We're going to tell you a story. It's taken from the guide, March 10, 2012 issue. And it's called Freed by Prayer by Kayla Nash. He'd been captured. No one had known his fate, yet here he stood before them smiling. And it all was because of a powerful prayer.
In 1962, during the Vietnam War, Pastor Reinhold Tilstra was the leader of a mission station in Saigon, now named Ho Chi Minh City. In all of Vietnam, there were just 1,200 believers led by six pastors. Pastor Tilstra saw the need for more leaders, so he'd recruited and helped train more than 200 colporters, now known as literature evangelists. These colporters were willing to go anywhere to reach rural villages, including through territory held by enemy soldiers.
It had all started as a normal day. Pastor Tilstra had crossed the urban street, enduring the usual tropical humidity to reach his office. There he oversaw a printing press and a pastoral training school and hospital. These enterprises had made this mission more effective than most other mission stations in Southeast Asia.
Suddenly, the pastor's day had taken a dramatic turn. News had reached him that Guyen Van Tho, one of the most faithful colporters, had been captured by the Viet Cong. This especially worried Pastor Tilstra, for the Viet Cong sometimes murdered people they captured.
Quickly, he called the mission staff members together. Once inside the local church, they offered up an earnest prayer for this colporter whom they loved so dearly.
Just as they were finishing, in walked Guyen, smiling. They all rejoiced in the fact that their prayer had been answered so promptly. But a question remained. What had happened? "I was captured on an isolated and lonely dirt road near the village of Gokong. The leader commanded me to kneel down to be executed according to cultural tradition. I told the commander, 'I am not afraid to die, but I have one request before you shoot me. I would like to pray.' My desire was granted, but reluctantly. After kneeling before the commanding officer and God, I began to pray. I prayed for each of the men in the Viet Cong group. I prayed that each one of them would somehow come to know God and the salvation he offers through Jesus Christ. Suddenly, the leader of the group shouted,
'You're crazy! Get up! Get out of my sight! You're not worth wasting a bullet on!'
So I scrambled to my feet, though I must admit that I was slightly confused. But I ran as fast as I could across the rice paddies. When I got out of the range of the Viet Cong's guns, I stopped to collect my thoughts and to thank God for sparing my life. Then I joyfully proceeded to Saigon to tell the good news to my friends here at the mission station."
Everyone smiled and thanked God for allowing their friend to continue spreading the gospel.
Not only is this a miracle to remember, but a miracle to learn from. God can do amazing things for those who love him and who are faithful to him. He is fully capable of saving us even from the very jaws of death.
But there is something perhaps even more important that I learned from Guyen's story. Matthew 5:44 says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Although the prayer the missionary employees prayed was answered, I think the prayer Guyen Van Tho prayed was just as important. Guyen did not pray for his own earthly salvation, but he followed Christ's example and prayed for the eternal and heavenly salvation of his enemies. This obedient colporter had evidently walked with God in earnest and had learned his commands and promises. Because he was faithful and close to God, it was not hard for him to demonstrate unconditional love.
If you struggle with loving your enemies, ask God to help. He will work in amazing ways to change your heart for the better. And it says here at the end that Guyen is now a deacon in the church in Ho Chi Minh City.
Cool. Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Helen Haverland.
And she is the author of a number of books. We're specifically talking today about two books. One is called Falling for a Lie, and it is really the story of Jay Christian. And we're going to get into that a little more in depth later on. But from that book, because it was such a difficult book to write, and it did seem like the great controversy was playing out in her life, then she wrote a book about the experience of writing that book. Helen is an inspirational author and speaker and writes for a variety of journals and anthologies. She's been published in 4 languages. She's authored 3 other books, My God is Bigger, Falling for a Lie, and the other two are
Zion, Champion for God, and My Enemy, My Brother.
Okay. So you can go to her website at www.HelenHaverland, and that's spelled HEAVIRLAND.com. Or you can go to Amazon.com, or you can go to Remnant Publishing, probably Barnes & Noble's.
I imagine.
Yes, any of those books. Okay, let's start. In the two books that I'm holding in front of me, you wrote this one first, Falling for a Lie. Let's start with Falling for a Lie. What kind of author is this when you're telling someone's story, but you're putting it in a book form, a readable form? So how did you begin this relationship with Jay Christian?
Well, I just heard his story. He was speaking at a church, and my husband and I had gone and listened to him. And on the way, I was fascinated by his story. On the way out of the church that day, I had this impression, you ought to ask Jay, or you ought to offer to write Jay's story. And I just kind of laughed, and I was not interested in writing any books. I had written a number of short things and had published in a variety of magazines, but I was not interested in writing a book-length manuscript. Anyway, God just kept bothering me about this idea. And over a long period of time, eventually, Jay learned about me and telephoned me. And God and I had a long discussion about this because I really was not interested in it. But it became very clear that this was God's assignment to me. And I finally said, okay, God, if this is truly what you want me to do, I'm willing. But you're sure going to have to help me.
So what is his story about?
He was a young man who wanted God in his life, but he didn't understand God. And so in his search for a God that was loving, he got pulled into New Age beliefs. He got pulled into spiritualism and a whole variety of the Eastern religions until finally at one point he found the true Christ of the Bible, who is a God of love, and it changed his life. A life that was spiraling downward through 3 divorces, through work situations that were not good, through all kinds of negative things. When he understood God, it changed his life, and he is in radio. He is still in radio, but he is now in a Christian radio, and it has made just a tremendous difference in his life. He's happily married. He's having a wonderful life now because of God's impact on him.
So you said you had heard his story at church, and that was where the seed was planted, I guess. You didn't know it was going to come to fruition, but when you sat down then to write his story, just describe a little bit the process that involves.
Okay. He had written his story himself, but he was not a writer, and he did not know how to write it in a form that would be really readable to the market. And so I read what he had and originally actually gave him some suggestions as to how he could improve it. And then he came back and just said, I've tried, your suggestions were good. I don't know how to do it. I'm not a writer. Would you consider writing it anyway? And then after I read his manuscript, I interviewed he and his wife both for many hours. And then started organizing it, and then just wrote it, outlined and wrote it from first person. I wrote it as if he were telling the story.
Because I can imagine that some of my listeners who want to write but maybe they feel that their story isn't as interesting as someone else's story. And maybe God is leading them even through this interview to know how that process would look like. I mean, I've had people ask if I wanted, you know, if I would write their story, and I really couldn't imagine how that process looked like. The hours of interviewing or just transcribing, if they record their words, you know, and then you have to transcribe it, it's very time consuming. And it can be a lonely process, too.
Yes, it can.
So you're writing this book. Now, I know the next question leads into what you wrote in the next book, My God is Bigger. But when did you have the first inkling that satanic agencies were going to put every effort to stop you from this project?
Well, I've always been a very healthy person, and right after I started writing this book, I began having health challenges, and was told that I might have a tumor on my pituitary gland, and it's not very comforting to have a tumor growing just at the base of your brain. And then my throat gave me lots of problems, and I had to go on total vocal rest for a while, for months, and so there were some other things, too. There were a number of health challenges that came up, and I didn't really pin them to anything. And then one day, I had an almost new computer that had just been working wonderfully, and I was writing the book proposal for this book, which is like a sales proposal to a publisher to tell them why they ought to publish this book and why their readers would like it and why I was the author to write it and all those kinds of things. And I it had been going really well one day, and when I turned the computer off that night, I thought, if it goes this well tomorrow, I probably will get the rough draft of the book proposal done tomorrow. And I was really pleased. The next morning, I came into my computer, and I pushed the power switch, and nothing happened. And I thought, oh, I must have bumped a plug someplace. So I checked all the connections and pushed the power switch again, and nothing happened. And I did everything I could, and I checked the manual, did everything I could, and it would not do anything. So I just prayed that God would take away anything in my life that would keep me from doing his will totally, and prayed that he would help me to know what to do. And I remember I ended my prayer by saying simply, God, if I need to call a repairman, that's fine. But if this is just the devil trying to slow progress on this project, would you please take care of him? And I got up from my prayer, and I turned around, and I pushed the power switch. And the computer came on and
Amen.
Was working fine. I hadn't lost anything of all my work, and the computer worked fine. But at that point, I thought, oh my. If Satan will stoop to stopping computers, what else might he do? And then it hit me, the text about how he comes as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour crossed my mind, and I was petrified. I thought, oh my. And then I thought, but God won this. And I just, at that point, all of a sudden, it began to come into my mind, all these health challenges I'd been having. And I began to fit the pieces together and realizing that perhaps we had some satanic warfare here.
Yes, amen. Well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the book, My God is Bigger. What a wonderful promise it is. I'm talking to Helen Haverland. And her two books, Falling for a Lie and My God is Bigger. You can go to her website at www.helenhaverland.com. It's spelled H-E-A-V-I-R-L-A-N-D. And or you can probably find it on Amazon.com and any major bookstores. We'll be right back.
You
You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162.
Welcome back. I'm here with Helen Haverland, and we are talking about My God is Bigger. It's a wonderful title. Tell me how you decided upon this title.
Well, actually, a writing friend of mine came up with it. I had pages and pages of titles, and none of them were just quite right. And a writing friend who'd read my manuscript and helped me said, "What about My God is Bigger?" And I thought, that's just right. Because that's truly, it kind of encapsulates the book. Whatever challenge comes to us, whatever the devil throws at us, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is, My God is bigger than those challenges.
Yeah.
And I think so often in relation to that, of a sermon that I heard on the radio in the midst of my writing experience with the first book, that I heard the title, David and the Dwarf.
Instead of David and the
and
Giant.
And the Giant. And I don't know what that pastor talked about that day, because it sent me off to thoughts of my own. And realizing that in the mind of Goliath, he was a giant. In the mind of all the Philistines, he was a giant. In the mind of the Israelites, Goliath was a giant. In the mind of King Saul, Goliath was a giant. Everybody was afraid of him except for David. And in the mind of David, God was the giant. And when you put Goliath beside God, Goliath is a dwarf. And any problem that comes to fight me, it is a dwarf when I put it beside God.
Amen. Isn't that? That is so encouraging. I wonder how many listeners may have a health problem or a relationship problem, financial problem. We all have our brokenness. We all have our challenges. But God is our giant. And the problems are dwarfs. In one of your titles, you have wheelchair wheelies. What was that story about?
Well, in the midst, of course, I had health challenges. And then all of a sudden, one day, I was supposed to be having total vocal rest, being totally silent, not answering the phone, not doing anything. And I just started work one morning, and the phone rang, and I listened for the answering machine just to see what it was. And there was a very pained voice saying, "Please answer, Helen, please answer." And I thought, is that my husband? I wasn't even sure. The voice was so pained, but I thought it has to be him. So I went ahead and picked up the phone and said, "What's going on?" And he said, "I fell. I think I broke both legs. I need the doctor's number." And so, long story short, he had broken a bone in his left foot. He had crushed his right ankle very severely.
Wow.
And he is self-employed. And I work for his business. So in one slip of the ladder, we had just lost our total family income. It was a very difficult time.
Yeah.
God was amazing, however. God was amazing throughout this whole process. Every time, at first, the doctor didn't think that my husband would ever be able to go back to work. But as it has turned out, every time my husband would go back to the doctor, the surgeon, he would just shake his head and repeatedly said, "I can't believe how well this is healing. It's just like a miracle." And he had, after it did heal and he said, "Okay, I think you can go back to work," he did tell my husband, "Be very careful with it, because within 5 to 8 years, you're going to need a replacement ankle." And, you know, they're researching and they're experimenting and trying to come up with better and better replacement ankles, so, you know, make it last as long as you can. Well, it is now 17 years later, and he is still on his original ankle, and God has, he does not limp. He is well, and we are just so grateful. But wheelchair wheelies, my husband does not make a good handicapped person, and he had wheelchair races, and he ended up showing the painter how to do part of the job. We had overspray on his wheelchair. he was very active, even in spite of the wheelchair, and then eventually the crutches. And we're so grateful. He was able to go back to work. God truly took care of us. Even though at one point I remember thinking, you know, maybe God's going to get the opportunity to show us what manna is again, because I don't know how we're going to eat.
Yes.
But God provided in amazing ways.
God is so good.
Amen.
So what has happened to Jay Christian?
Jay Christian, after his trip into these Eastern religions and New Age and so forth, he became a Christian. He was into radio. Oh, I guess it mentioned it's still now in Christian radio. He's a manager at 3ABN Radio, and loves the Lord. Is a wonderful representative for God.
Do you ever talk to him, or have you kept in contact at all?
Yes, I've kept in contact at the conference we're at. I talked with him this morning.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes,
it's. You know, it's so encouraging because life is full of disappointments and it's just a sin-sick world we live in. And when you see these success stories, by my standards anyway, of people who find the way and then continue, you know, it can be discouraging sometimes, the long haul, so to speak. And the perseverance is so encouraging. So what do you plan for? Do you have any projects coming in the future?
You know, I'll be continue to write short things. I don't know about books, I'll tell you why. My husband is very ill right now, and I don't know that I'm going to be able to continue writing books unless God does another miracle.
Yes.
He did a number of miracles in the book, My God is Bigger. He did repeated miracles, one of them being that the tumor I had, without treatment, after I had fasted and prayed and a number of others were praying for me, the tumor disappeared. I struggled with God's will, and yet God has just been so good.
Yeah.
And what the future holds, I don't know, but I know who holds the future.
Amen.
And he is bigger than the challenge I'm facing right now. How he's going to handle it, I don't know, but I know I can trust
yes.
him. And I think of the three worthies in the fiery furnace. Then there was that fourth man there. And the three men, the only thing that burned were the cords that bound them. And we need not fear. God can take care of the things that bind us, the things that hold us down, the challenges. God can handle them. He is bigger. And he loves us with an everlasting love.
Amen. What a wonderful way to conclude the show. My God is bigger, and he can be your God too. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.